trust me, I fall into it too, right? You're like, oh, dude, I wish I got that job or da, 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 da. It's just like, well, you know what? Have I gone hungry, you know, in 20 years? I haven't. So I need to be thankful for what, where we've gotten. And that's the trick that comparison and social media kind of plays on you, is that it really messes with your mind.
Perspective Podcast is fuel for your mind and creative grind. Each week, we break down the art of healthy hustling, overcoming the inner critic, and growing your creative business. What's going on? You're listening to episode 200 of the Perspective Podcast. I'm your host, Scotty Russell of Perspective Collective, and I want to help you blaze your own path on your own terms with your creative pursuits. And at the end of each episode, I plug a listener of the week, so stick around to figure out how you can get a permanent shout out on a future episode. And again, we made it 4 years later and we finally hit the episode 200 mark. This has pretty much been a weekly show with a new episode each week for over 4 years now. Sprinkle in maybe some off weeks when I had some kids and crazy stuff at a day job, losing a job, or baking in, you know, every seventh week off with a best hits episode. But pretty much we're showing up every week here. And this time around, you know, this big milestone, I don't have fancy merch or crazy art challenge like I did with episode 100. That's okay. I'm just happy to be present and grateful to be in this moment celebrating and sharing this big episode with you today. And I didn't know what the hell I was doing when I started the podcast. And often today, I admit I am still clueless, but I know more than when I started. However, as I continue to grow and know more about what I want and get to know you better, the person on the other end, and what you're wanting, what you're needing, all that together, that's what helps this show evolve as I evolve, you know, and as I grow and as I evolve, the show, we're just going deeper. I want to just keep going deeper. And the focus is always about why the hell should you care? If you're spending your precious finite time listening, then what can you take away from each episode? I don't want this to be about me sitting on a mic and just blowing it up with hot air with no value. And I'm not slowing down. We're just finding our groove over here. We're focused on bigger and better things. What can we get off our plate so we can scale this and create even a better experience for you? So stick with us as we figure out our new groove and our next move. So again, thank you so much for vibing with us over the past 200 episodic adventures. Now let's celebrate with a monumental audio experience with today's guest. And moving on to the overview, and this kind of builds off of, you know, this milestone that we're talking about here. It truly is crazy how what you're doing, maybe now or back in the beginning, how it can just vastly evolve over the years, especially to the point where it begins to just take on a mind of its own, and all of a sudden you're wrapped up in it and you're just going with the flow. Change is a good thing. Don't run away from it, run toward it. Riding the wave of change just may guide you to unlocking a new level for the next dragon that you're supposed to slay. That brings me to today's guest, the new homie, Don of Invisible Creature. I've been a fan of Don and Ryan's work for years now behind the scenes, and I'm just grateful I finally get a chance to connect with at least Don in person today. And it's hard not to be a fan of what they're doing once you hear the story of how I See Invisible Creature came to life in the evolution of their style and craft with illustration and products. To date, they're backed by the clout of 4 Grammy nominations for packaging and a long, long list of big name clients like NASA, Lego, MTV, Xbox, Nike, and more. And their toys and products are slanged all across major retail stores, and they've designed countless album artwork for some of the biggest musicians in the world. As dope as all of this sounds, as you're gonna hear today, there's always a new level to tap into and conquer that centers around treating your work like play when you get to know Dan. And in this episode, Dan of Invisible Creature and I cover not asking permission to create the cool stuff you want to create. We cover the constant evolving process of finding your style and your voice, as well as getting really good without worrying about being the best, along with not trying to monetize your creativity right away. Oh my God, that one's so important. As well, we're going to touch on Demon Hunter, creating toys, and their latest book, Face the Music, 20 Years of Album Artwork. If you're ready to say yes to hiring yourself to create the type of work you want to create, then this episode was crafted specifically for you. And before we get started, today's episode is brought to you by Garm Company. Garm stands for Graphic Artist Resource Merchant, and they're a boutique style shop for designer tools, resources, and goods crafted together with some of the biggest, most talented designers in the business, like Kendrick Kidd, Jason Craig, Tim Barron, Susana Rios, and I even have a brush set on there now for Procreate. Their textures, brushes, fonts, and courses help you achieve that highly desired professional polish while saving you tons of time and not breaking your bank. And we want to hook you up by visiting garmcompany.com/Scotty and make sure to use the code PIZZA20 to take 20% off your purchase. This even works on sale items. Also, a big shout out to Patreon supporters who financially back the show, like my family at Iron Bean Coffee Company. With as little as your weekly cup of coffee, your support directly helps the show continue to grow, which allows me to invest in the podcast team, equipment, and hosting. So learn more about how you can financially back the show and the rewards for pledging at patreon.com/perspectivepodcast. We couldn't do what we do without you, so thank you so much. And if you found value in this show, it'd mean the world to me if you took a screenshot or a video of you working to this in the background and tagged me as well as Invisible Creature on Instagram stories so we can connect and I can reshare the love back. As always, keep an open mind and act on anything that inspires you today. Let's go. PC family, we have Don Clark of Invisible Creature on the show today to celebrate episode 200. I'd love to officially welcome you to the Perspective Podcast. How you doing, man?
Good, man. Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Like I was saying, this was my excuse to finally get a chance to have a conversation with you because it's always been, I've never had a chance to meet you at a conference or anything yet. So why not try and bring you on for this? So for those who don't know, I see there's actually a Wikipedia page on you, but can you give us a brief Wikipedia page summary about yourself?
You know, it's funny. You just mentioned Wikipedia. I was thinking about that today. Like, I don't know who did that page, but I want to update it. My name's Don. My brother and I started Invisible Creature, which is a design and illustration studio in 2006. Before that, we had a company called Asterisk Studio, and we focused on music packaging and music websites before. This is crazy. This is how long we've been doing it. But before MySpace came in to kind of demolish the band website, and then that was with our friend Dimitri Argus. So yeah, about 20 years we've been at it under two different names, and we love what we get to do, and we're you know, eternally grateful for that every day. So,
and Demon Hunter's still going on, right? Is your brother more of a part of like that still?
Yeah. So Ryan is that's a huge chunk of his job is you know, the band, and it's, you know, they don't tour a ton, but they have like this pretty rabid fan base. You know, they do a lot of stuff for them online and fan club and stuff. So yeah, so he's got his hands full with that, and then also does design work as well. So
but you pretty much run most of Invisible Creature then, since he's very preoccupied in that world too.
Yeah. And the story is kind of weird. So the story for us makes total sense, but for people, you know, that obviously think that Invisible Creature is just a 50-50 split with us, it's basically, my brother was the art director at Tooth and Nail Records for years, like 15 years. And at the same time, Asterisk, my first company, was renting space from Tooth and Nail. We were all friends and the art departments would hang out. And so we kind of had this agreement with the owner of Tooth and Nail Records that, you know, anything that he worked on could say Asterisk or Invisible Creature. And so, you know, it kind of became this brain trust almost, but I owned Asterisk with my friend Dimitri. And so when we split in 2005, 2006, Ryan was still employed by Tooth and Nail, and I kind of went on my own and, you know, had this name. So, you know, I was drawing a paycheck just through IC. He was drawing a paycheck from Tooth and Nail. And so that's just how it's always worked. And then so Ryan's been on his own for 4 years. And so that's just Demon Hunter, just Invisible Creature. And then he also freelances kind of he does a lot of music packaging as well. So it's a little confusing. But, you know, when we kind of like launch something, typically it's what I'm working on. But then, you know, there'll be some time, you know, like we're working on a book right now, so that, you know, he has a big hand in that. So yeah, it's beautiful chaos, but it's worked out for us real well.
So when did you get to the point that you knew it was time to leave and just go all in on like the art side, you know, come from that metal and punk background growing up hardcore in that scene? When did it just like, fuck, this is the time to start making that transition? Like my gut, my intuition is telling me this is the way.
Yeah, no, that's a good question. That whole punk hardcore era was so instrumental in what I'm doing today. You know, that work ethic and just my mindset about how, you know, I didn't really want to have a boss, or, you know, I never have since I was a kid. I knew that I wanted to be an artist of some sort. So when we started Demon Hunter in 2000, that band kind of exploded. And at the same time, we had started our new company. And so I kind of did, we did both for 5, 6 years. Well, no, longer than that. And it just got too crazy. We were having kids, you know, my son was born, our second child. And I remember I came home from tour and like he was, before I left, he wasn't speaking at all. And then when I got back, he was talking and I was like, you know what?
Fuck.
I missed that. His first words or whatever, you know, and I was like, I don't need to be doing these two jobs. I'm so blessed to be able to have these two things in my life that are doing well. And I'm super thankful. And my wife was cool because she let me figure it out on my own. She wasn't like, you need to stop the band. You know, she's always been supportive. And it was always, I think in the back of her mind was always like, he'll figure it out when it's time. So I think that's like 2007, 2008 is when I left.
Gave yourself the ultimatum versus her having myself, to do it.
Actually, it was just like one night I was like, you know what? I'm going to leave the band. Like my mind was somewhere else. I was like raising a family. The company was growing.
It's too much. I think one of the main thing I preach here is like Superman syndrome or shiny object syndrome, feeling like you got to do all the things all the time instead of doing less, but better.
You know, and my dream as a hardcore kid was to be in a big metal band touring in a bus. Right. I mean, we wanted to be Machine Head. So I was able to fulfill that dream and it was super special. And, but I knew when it was time to go. So, and I haven't looked back. I'm a huge fan of what my brother does. He's extremely talented and I'm like the biggest, you know, DH fan now, but, yeah, it was definitely time.
So coming from this like metal punk black, I mean, if we're at a conference, I deck out in black, everything like the conference we go to, the same right. People we talk to, everybody's blacked out, but
right
from this world to like this world that invisible creature is just dominating in, you have this friendly, inviting, colorful, still kind of has like that edge to it. But how have you developed this style to where it is today?
Yeah, no, that's another good question. And I'm appreciative of the people that have been following my work for that long that see the transition and have seen, you know, my viewpoint change or just my lens. That all kind of started when I was having kids. You know, I was seeing art through their eyes and books and film, and I discovered, you know, the 50s, you know, it was like the new chapter in my life as I was seeing design illustration through a new lens, and the things that, you know, I remember as a little kid looking through and loving, but I didn't know who created these books and these movies and stuff. So you know, we went and saw The Incredibles in 2004. And, you know, I was just not only blown away by the film, but the art of book and found out about who was working on these films and really fell in love with visual development for animation. And just, I haven't looked back. I mean, that era to me is so optimistic, unlike any other. And it's really the foundation for what a lot of us are doing now. You know, you name it, that era, architecture, animation, automobiles, design, illustration, was so groundbreaking, so optimistic, post-war innocence, you know, it was beautiful. And so I think that's, you know, that comes through in our work. I never want to, you know, I don't want anything to ever look retro. You know, I hate that word. I'm just trying to create work that hopefully is timeless and that, you know, that I want to see in the world, basically.
So I definitely get what you mean. I guess I didn't think about it until you made me think about it. But like my son, just a little over 2 right now, and I've never paid attention to books, like illustrated children's books like I do now. I'm like, holy shit, someday I want to do a children's book. I'm like, I would have never.
Yeah.
You know, I'm heavy line work, heavy details.
Mm-hmm.
I like the Skull Life, all that stuff too. But I don't know. I've got like a little collection of books. Like these are my go-to. I don't even want to touch them. I'm buying books for my friends now just so I can have them for me to look at, not necessarily read to him.
Exactly.
I would have never paid attention to that before until I had kids.
Yeah. You know, and it's just, you know, I say too, like these objects that we create and sell on our site and work on for clients, like, even if it's just a moment, you know, if you see it and you're like, oh, I remember having something like that. Or, you know, my grandpa had something like that at his house. Or, oh, that's a cool spin on like what, you know, I love that feeling of, you know, nostalgia, basically. I mean, it just, you know, people tend to hate on that word, but it fuels me, man. So I loved my childhood. I loved, my dad's era, his childhood, you know, wanting to make people smile is a big, you know, factor in, you know, what, you know, how I work.
So as you made that transition and give yourself permission to go from the old style that you had been known for, did it just start with like personal projects, making time for you, just personal work to experiment and explore? And then you just start putting it out there to show the work you want? Because you didn't just all of a sudden make the switch. I'm just flipping the script on the style that I'm kicking out, and here I'm landing commercialized work with it.
Yeah, so the switch happened with the gig poster explosion, basically, which, you know, was around 02, 03, even before that. And that was kind of, I think that explosion happened because the downfall or the downward trajectory of the physical album. So, you know, people were more interested in buying posters as memorabilia for their favorite band or a show they were going to. And so we jumped right into that because it allowed us to flex our illustration chops and just get better at drawing. We were so heavy focused in design and photo illustration, you know, really hyper conceptual photography stuff that we were doing for albums. And we kind of ran the gamut on that. We've done hundreds of albums at that point. So what was cool is, you know, young music fans that worked at agencies were buying these posters and digging them and, you know, calling to see if we want to work on stuff for Target or, you know.
Were you just making your own posters in the beginning? Like nobody hitting you up? Self-initiated?
Well, yeah, no, we started on our own. We actually started hitting up all the bands we had worked with. So we said, hey, you guys, I know you guys are going on tour this summer. What if we design a poster for that tour? We keep 50, we send 50 to you. We're not going to charge you for design. And so many bands said yes. So that's, you know, that's how we opened up our shop. That's how we got our start. And then promoters and bands would start hiring us to do posters.
Okay. Huge takeaway. Not everybody's going to be in that position. You know, especially people who are listening, a bunch of side hustlers just trying to build shit outside of their day jobs because they don't want a boss. You know, that's the same essence of this show.
Right.
And I think you said something huge there is you took initiative. There's something you guys wanted to do, find a new style, find a new lane you want to navigate. And you put out the work you wanted to see. You leverage those contexts, but not everybody's going to have those relationships built. So you can still like create for your favorite band if you want to get into a specific space or a specific style.
Right.
And even just tag them or DM them. What most people probably aren't going to respond, but just the fact that you're putting yourself out there in a style, hiring yourself, like I think that would be the way I can connect it to someone else listening.
Yeah, for sure. You know, when we had, so at that point, you know, we were funding these posters ourselves. It's because we had, you know, bigger client work coming in. So that was how we paid for that stuff. But, you know, I always say that the work will speak for itself. It's an evolution in finding your voice, I think, in terms of, you know, look at us, 20 years we've been going and like, it's still evolving and I don't think it'll ever, you know, stop, hopefully. But, you know, if your work is great, people are going to start paying attention and passing it around. I mean, that's just the bottom line. If you create a poster for Arcade Fire and you DM them or something and it's badass, they're probably going to hit you back. If it's not great, they're not. So, you know, I think there's something to be said about just like honing your craft, maybe, you know, staying off social media for a good chunk of the day, getting really good at what you do, and then worry about those other things later. Just worry about getting good. You don't have to be the best and you don't have to be original, but get good because, you know, that is the one deciding factor in if you're going to get hired or not. It's a very simplified take, but, and we could unpack that more, but I think so many people are focused on social media and getting seen and getting a following. And I've had these questions asked to me, like, how do you guys monetize? And I'm like, you know, monetize Instagram. I'm like, I don't even know how to do that. We just started an Instagram account and posting our work.
People are looking for the hack,
right?
The microwave society overnight growth hack.
Or they're hoping for some hashtag trend to happen for them, you know, like, or some kind of trend to fall in their lap. And that's just the wrong way of looking at it. I head down, work, social media later, you know, like it's that simple.
The key words you said there was 20 years.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, what's funny is after 10 years, we started getting some bigger jobs. It was crazy. And I'm like, oh my gosh, Malcolm Gladwell and Macklemore are correct. So, yeah. And then 20 years, you know,
what's the Malcolmore? I got 10,000 hours.
10,000 hours. Yeah. Something like, okay. I forgot what that equates to, but yeah, I think it's like 10 years, right? Something like that.
Something.
Okay. So, you know, and then 20 years, you know, we're starting to work on stuff that I never dreamed ever that we'd be working on. So all that to say, I realize people have opened doors for us, and we've been really lucky and blessed in that situation. There's just no doubt about it. But I will say there's something to be said about just shutting off the noise. Don't worry about what your competitors or your friends or the people you look up to are doing. Shut it off. Mute them. You know, like if it's screwing you up, mute their account. You know, like that's just such a big deal, I think, right now, is the comparison situation with social media. And you see what all these people are doing, and it's like coming from a guy who got, you know, who got their start before all of this happened, social media, I'm just looking at it from my vantage point, and I've seen kind of what's happened. And trust me, I fall into it too, right? You're like, oh dude, that's, you know, I wish I got that job, or it's just like, well, you know what? Have I gone hungry, you know, in 20 years? I haven't. So I need to be thankful for where we've gotten. And that's the trick that comparison and social media kind of plays on you, is that it really messes with your mind.
Yeah, comparison makes you lose sight of the shit you've actually accomplished.
Right.
It gets you so wound up in what someone else has that you lose sight of what you do have, and you lose sight of all the people who would kill to be in your position for whatever you've done.
Right.
Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I look up to like you and the Clark Orrs, and I'm like, fuck, I wish I had those clients. Like, in the beginning, I thought I had to land big freelance jobs in order to feel like I had some clout or respect. I thought that was the path I had to go. Successful merch line and big name brands. And I'm like, actually, I hated doing my own merch. I actually don't like doing client work, and I had to just find my own lane.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, is, you know, when we started, we were attempting styles that we just didn't have any business doing, you know, like I think a lot of artists get trapped into that too, like just trying everything. And I think after 20 years, we know what we're good at and what we're not. And what we're not good at, we have a friend do it that's a badass, you know. So we partner with the right people when we can. So yeah, that's a big part of it, is just figuring out your lane. Like, what are you good at? Like, what is your thing? And I mean, there's just so many great success stories of people finding that niche. The key is finding a niche that's not trendy. You know what I mean? Like, finding something that's literally going to be here for 4 years is not going to pay the bills.
Timeless.
Find your niche that's timeless. You know, whether that's a podcast, whether that's something, but there's so many fleeting design styles that come and go. I've seen them all. You know, I currently see them, you know, things that are just, you know, red hot right now, and there's a zillion people doing the same thing, and it's just going to be gone in a couple of years. So that's another thing, is longevity, you know,
trend chasers and getting watered down and lost in the shuffle.
Well, there's always a hype style for every, you know, era. And so you see the land boys, they develop that style, and then like everyone and their brothers doing the land stuff now, you know?
That like organic,
right?
It's like you drew with your left or recessive hand kind of illustration.
Well, the thing is like, you know, I love land stuff, and it's cool that they came up with that, but then there's like a crap load of other people doing that. So then you're like, well, I, you know, it becomes a little bit watered down. And, you know, those guys, and I know how, you know, designers like that are, they're probably like, we just want to keep moving on. Forget what we're doing here. You know, I know that they're probably trying to tune that stuff out and just keep progressing. And I empathize with that. So I think that's every great designer that kind of comes up with something or makes a trend, I think is always like, you know, okay, cool. That was like what I did then. Let's move on. Like, let's keep going. So
what's the carrot that you are chasing with Invisible Creature, and how do you like continue to evolve and switch shit up while tuning out and muting the noise around you? Like, how do you, I know you said it's not about being original, but it's still at the same time, it can be original to you, like putting your own unique thumbprint on something. Like, how do you stay focused and still like challenge yourself to like switch shit up sometimes?
Yeah, good question. I think for us, the releasing our own objects and is just a huge thing. And not only does it keep me on my toes in terms of like trying new things and partnering with different companies and just making cool shit, it's also that stuff also drives client work, you know. So we'll do something on our own, and a client, potential client, will see that like, hey, we want to do that for us. And it's like a win-win, right? You know, we also get to work on client work that in turn becomes products that we can sell in our store. So that's a win-win. So, you know, we're being commissioned to do something, and then we get to buy it at wholesale, put it in our shop. So that, you know, that's another thing. But I will say the biggest thing is just constantly creating our own stuff to put on our site, you know, launching our own products, never resting on our laurels, never going, hey, last year was awesome, let's repeat that. Like, let's just keep making cool stuff. And it's just, what is it, you know, that I want to put on my desk? What is it that I think some of my friends would want to own?
I think you're doing it right there. I was going to ask you to define cool, and cool to you is like, what do I want to have on my desk? And I think everybody needs their own definition of create cool shit. You know, what's that mean?
That's my mantra. Do I want to own it? You know, and it's funny, like, you know, we release caps. Sometimes I see caps and like, I release the caps that I want to wear. And then it's funny, you know, I get a bunch of like emails like, dude, when are you going to put out dad hats? And I'm like, well, I don't wear dad hats, but I will say that I'm going to be doing IC dad hats because I know a lot of people want to wear them.
Yeah, listen, I'm a flat bill guy, but I do fuck with these creature friends, the IC friends. Yeah. Yeah, I do like that.
You know, what's funny too, is I have two teenagers and I see what they're wearing, what they're into. And like, we did this collab with Brett Stenson. We did a tie-dye t-shirt, and like the kids love, I mean, the younger crowd loves that, which is awesome.
With like the white print on it or whatever in this latest batch?
Yeah, right? It was long sleeve tie-dye. And I mean, you know, I don't usually, you know what I'm just wearing a, you know, t-shirt and a hat all the time. So, but see, I'm like, I love that shirt, and they're like, they usually don't get pumped at what I'm doing, but they're like, oh, when are those shirts coming in? When are those shirts coming in? Like, so I am wanting to, you know, now that I have two teenagers, wanting to do stuff that they, you know, would want to wear. So you'll probably be seeing some, you know, some more of that type of gear come out.
And the value of that is that keeps you relevant for years to come.
Totally.
Next, you're going to be doing dance videos on TikTok, dude.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Invisible Creature TikTok account coming soon. No.
Oh shit. Oh, so then how do you balance like these personal initiated projects, like the figures and stuff, versus commercial work? You know, how do you balance all this?
I just, dude, I fit it in, dude. I like, that's, people ask that question all the time, but like, I get up super early.
Do you make time to just play?
Yeah, I get up super early. I work out at home.
What time you get up early? We talk about early bird. 5?
Yeah.
Do you have like a specific routine? This shit fascinates me. Early mornings changed my life.
Yeah, 5, and then I'll pour some coffee, read the news for like half an hour, and then I'll go, we have a small gym, so I'll go work out, and then I go to work. And so, yeah, I'm at work by 7-ish, and so I'll just answer emails, go pack some orders, and then I'll work on client work for most of the day. And then I'll start working on like our own stuff the later part of the day. But, you know, that's a perfect day. Like, you know, there's shit coming in and out, and I'm like, you know, I have to answer this question from the printer for some of our, you know, whatever shirts or whatever. So I
fires to put out.
I'm back and forth, but that's the ideal scenario. And
but basically you time comes once the top priority shit is off your plate for the most part.
Well, yeah. I mean, every designer,
most of the
like,
time.
Yeah. I think every designer wants to work on their own stuff that they're excited about. But, and you know, again, I kind of, that stuff's easier for me to jam out because I know, I don't have to ask anyone. Like, I know exactly what I'm doing. I know, you know, and you know, my dad makes a lot of our wooden products. So like, it's him and I just like, I'll just throw him a sketch and he'll start jumping on it. And he's just awesome with that. So, it's for our stuff, it's way easier because I know exactly what I want to do. It's just a matter of putting the pieces together and finding the right manufacturer, you know, so.
So like the Musgrave drafting pencil set, that shit is so wicked. And then like the Mummy Fig series, where did those ideas come from? Or someone approaching you with those first, or those your ideas and you approach someone else, or a mix?
The Musgrave one was, I just wanted to do some IC pencils, and I started just going on the internet looking for pencil companies, and I found this awesome company that's been around for, you know, over 100 years. You could tell that they had a great design aesthetic. Like, you know, they weren't just like this random website. Like, you could tell a designer came in, or they have an art director or something. It just, everything looked fresh. And so I was like, and then I started going on their site, and I'm like, gosh, these guys are awesome. They sell these little wooden boxes. So I just hit them up. And that project took me almost a year, because I wanted to kind of come up with this little kit, and I wanted everything to fit in the thing, and so in the case, and like with a belly band, and like, it was not easy, man. I had to, you know, I had custom rulers made, and those boxes are not perfect. Not each one, no, you know, not every single one is perfect. And then the notepads came in too small. And so like all this stuff, dude, but ended up at the end, I was like, man, this might be one of my favorite things we've done.
This shit is wicked. For those watching YouTube video, I got it up right now. Otherwise it's in the show notes.
Nice. So anyways, everything kind of came together, you know, and photography is a big part of like, you know, what we do. And I, you know, we want everything to look sexy. So
you own the whole photography session. Did you do like prototypes first of all this?
No, I had, so they offer a cedar box that you can buy, like, you know, Musgrave sets that they make. And so, I had those, and then I did the ruler, the notepad, the print, and the belly band separate.
And then these little, when you talk about the nostalgia, this is the shit that hits me.
Yeah. So I have friends that work at Lego in on the East Coast. And so you know, I've been wanting to do something like IC Lego, but see, you know, obviously Lego's so huge, they're not going to partner with someone like me. But there's these companies like the Minifig Co. that, you know, does badass pad printing on Lego. And so, yeah, we partner with them. This is our fourth colorway. We've got two more coming and more on the way. So again, this is just like super fun, highly collectible. People want to collect each color. And again, something I want to see in my desk. So
I think that's the perfect filter right there, is something you want to see in your desk. Yeah. For anybody who's struggling, be like, I want to create cool shit that you want to see versus like what you think the world wants to see.
I think that's a big part of it. And people ask kind of like, well, how do you get inspired, or how did you get into this? Or, you know, I'm into art, but I don't know where to start. And I kind of think some of those are the wrong questions. And I here's why I say that. I feel like there should be a healthy obsession beforehand. You should already be so obsessed on this one thing or this certain world or something that you want to just jump into it. Like, you know, Steven Spielberg was obsessed with film. And did he ask questions about, I don't know how to get into it? Because like, no, he found the phone numbers for the people who, you know what I mean? Like, you, there's got to be a healthy dose of like, I'm going to get my foot in the door any way I can, because I know exactly who's making these things. I'm going to go to them. If I can't find their contact info, I'll find someone that will. And, you know, it's like, did Nirvana have to ask like if what kind of music to start playing? I mean, it's you are obsessed with a certain thing. And I think that a lot of my friends who are designers are the same way. They just, they love this one thing, or they love this thing, you know, this part of this thing, you know. It's, you just get obsessed with stuff. So that's, you know, we were obsessed with, you know, 80s culture as kids, and then we got older and then found the mid-century and skateboarding and snowboarding and punk rock. And it's just, you know, we haven't looked back. We haven't asked any questions. We've just, you know, that's it.
I say you can't teach ambition. Like, that shit's just got to come from within. I mean, you can nurture it and guide someone and influence it, but at the same day, if it's something you want to do, well, fucking hey, you got to just do it.
And I think, you know, there's something to be said about just stumbling upon something that you fall in love with, right? Like, you might not know, like, I didn't know what, you know, who the Eames were, you know, like, I didn't know that stuff. And when you find their work, you're like, this is amazing, you know? And so, you know, there's something to that as well. And then you know, it can be a quick thing where you're like, I want to do that. Like, I love this and I want to do that. For others, it's a gradual, you know, evolution. There's no right way. I just feel like, there should already be this unquestionable healthy obsession.
And I think you said another important thing indirectly, but if you're struggling to like find your style, you're too wrapped up in what everyone else is doing, go and look back at your childhood and see what your influences are. To me, that was like a great spot where I'm like, oh shit, I can connect the dots now. Like outer space and aliens and pizza have always been there since I was a little kid, all these drawings and sketches I did, and they're still here today. You know, now I could just go nerd out deeper on it.
Yeah, you know, I always say that most of my heroes are dead. You know, I love dead people.
So, Bob Ross, man, that's my dude.
Yeah. I mean, there's obviously amazing artists still today, but the people that I look to are almost all of them are gone now. So there's just a lot of wisdom to be had in that era and from those people.
Without that context, that would sound really weird.
Yeah, for sure. I'm into dead people.
I love dead people. Oh, God. No more I see in my world.
There's some more problems.
What would you say is like when you were just finding your like your groove with your design work, what would you say were kind of like the biggest hurdles? Some words of advice you would give yourself just starting off? I think we've dropped a lot of killer helpful tips, but if you were to like go back and replay Don of the old days, just getting started or like finding your groove or when social media came around, what would be kind of some lessons you would give yourself? Hindsight 2020 kind of shit.
There's a few things. I've tried to grow the company in the past. Like we've had employees, we've had interns, so many friends have come from that, but I wish I could go back and just say, dude, keep it small. Just focus on what you can handle. You've got a family. The thing about growing a company, which this happens to a lot of folks, you have to have the right mindset to grow. You know, you have to be willing to let go. And so
delegation. Yeah.
My problem is like, I'm the guy that's like, scoot over, let me finish, you know? So, and that's not a good boss.
I don't see you delegating design work.
That's not a good boss.
That's hard for me.
It just doesn't work. So, and, you know, I've met some of my favorite people through, you know, internships here and my employees, and they've gone on to do some amazing things. There's nothing better to me than just owning everything, not having to ask permission to make something, getting down to the studio when I want to, not having to be there for an employee. So just curbing my ambition in that regard would have been cool to know. And I have friends that have turned their 2-person studios into, you know, 100-person agencies. So kudos to them, because that's great too. It's just something, you know, I found that I couldn't pull off. And also, you know, my heroes were like Charles Schulz and Jim Flora and these guys that just had like, their studio. It was, you know, the artist in his studio type thing was, you know, those are my favorite people growing up. So business stuff is also really, you know, it's something that doesn't get talked a lot about, but just understanding finances and having a business manager and, an accountant and all that stuff, you know. You know, just handling money, you know, is like a big part of all this stuff. So, but, you know, I didn't get into it to make money. I got into it because I loved it. And that's how I view everything now, is like, don't lose sight of why you got into this. And so you shouldn't be focusing on how am I going to, become a millionaire. You're not going to get rich doing this.
That's the big thing. So many creatives like hit me up about, how do I monetize this in the beginning? I'm like, you don't. Don't worry about that shit.
You don't, especially in the beginning. You obviously you can. We make a good living, but you have to. It takes you know, some time.
That exploratory phase. You got to figure shit out. Stumble, fail often.
Exactly, and just getting better and better and better, and putting out work that people want to purchase and want to, you know, hire you for. The other things I would say is just keep drawing, keep working. I mean, those are pretty self-evident, you know, thoughts, but yeah, just get off the internet, stop looking at social media, go take a walk, go watch a movie, you know, get inspired by something other than Instagram. The only thing I will say about Instagram that's kind of cool in terms of inspiration is like, I do see some stuff that my friends are doing. I'm like, damn, I put the phone down and I just get to work because I get pumped.
You use it as a healthy, instead of like, what can I create today? Let me go look on Instagram, because that shit is toxic.
Right.
And that's just regurgitating what you see in the world. But like, I like the angle that you're talking about right here.
Well, that angle for me used to be like, you know, the print regional design annual, or like, you know, Step magazine, or How, or, you know, that I used to flip through that and just be like, this is what I want to do.
That was your Instagram.
That was my Instagram. So the only reason I bring that positive note up about Instagram is you can use it that way. It's hard to, because you're just, you know, you're seeing comments and, you know, likes and all that stuff.
I like it from not an inspiration of being influenced of, we'll create something similar, using it as like, here's a little motivator, a little coal on the fire to just like get my shit. Okay. Someone's stepping it up over here. Like for me, it'd be like a mirror throwing down something. I'm like, okay, I got to go step it up real quick and go throw down an illustration.
And that's the beauty of this community, right? Like there's just so many talented people. For the most part, everyone is awesome and super nice and willing to help.
Asterisk.
I feel like I'm standing on the shoulders of giants, you know, like I didn't get here alone. Like, so I'm happy to offer any kind of help or knowledge that has been given to me. I was just some dumb skateboarding, snowboarding kid that, you know, wanted to get into art. I didn't know, you know, I didn't go to college. So, you know, anyone that has questions or whatever, I'm happy to help, man. Like people have helped me. So
being approachable, like right there, that's why people are going to want to buy your shit.
Totally.
It's because you don't put yourself on a pedestal.
If you want to be king of the mountain, you're just going to spend your entire time pushing other people off that mountain. And that's not where I want to be. I don't want to be king of the mountain. I want to be able to provide for my family and make fun stuff. So I think there's a lot of artists that are just like, this is mine. This is my style. Don't, you know, I came up with this. And if you have that mindset, you're
fucking done. Good luck. Longevity does not exist for someone with that small mindset of lack, not abundance.
It just makes you cynical, man. It makes you into a jerk. Like, you know, if you come up with this crazy niche in design, which I've seen happen, and I have friends that have done that. Awesome. Cool. Keep going. And then when it's over, don't be bitter. It's because it's not going to be around that very long. You got to keep pushing, move on to something next, innovate, whatever. But you can't just sit there and go, this is mine. Don't take this style. Like, it's just not going to work for you.
Before we end this, let's hit some rapid fire questions and I'll let you get back to work today. Super serious one. If you were on death row, what would your last slice of pizza be?
That's going to be pretty simple. Just pepperoni and olives.
Pepperoni and olives. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So what's the vision you see yourself, or what's something like that bucket list item of something you want to create, whether it's a figure, product, whatever it is, you know, what's that one thing that is on your bucket list that you want to attack or manifest sometime?
I sound like a total jerk here, but my bucket list stuff has happened, dude. So what's happening now? I know it sounds like
that's not a jerk. I would say, man, I want to know what's next now.
I'm very, very thankful. But the stuff that's happening now to me in terms of the work that's coming out in the next few years is stuff that I never thought I'd work on. My thing is, I just want to be able to keep, putting food on the table, man. I want to raise my kids. We have a farm here. I love it. I love the culture that we've developed out here with our family. So I want to be able to make stuff that I'm doing now and keep the house.
Let it surprise you.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I like that. I don't even have this one written down, but you're in Seattle. You're from the music industry. You're in a music area. What do you like to listen to when you vibe out and get lost in the sauce with your work?
So this is total grandpa style, but dude, I've got like this 90s mix that I made myself. That
like
is
now 20, now 1998.
Kind of. Well, but it's full albums. So it's basically the era that I fell in love with punk rock and music. I have a mix that I've made that's every album that I loved then. It's just like hundreds of albums. And that's all I listen to.
When you were saying like old grandpa, I was thinking you're gonna say like Beethoven or some shit.
No, okay. Not that old. No, okay. I mean, there's obviously some awesome bands and stuff that over the last 20 years, don't get me wrong, I love those. But I these days at 45 years old, I listen to a lot of podcasts, audiobooks, and then I put that on. I mean, yeah, it brings me back.
What's your go-to podcast?
Dude, I love so many. I love you know what's a really good one is this one called Awards Chatter. It's the Hollywood Reporter, and they basically interview interesting. I'm a huge film cinephile guy, so they interview a lot of people in film.
Okay. If you were reincarnated, what would your new career path be outside of music and design?
farmer.
What would your go-to crop be? You should come to Iowa.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know anything about farming, but I just like being outside with the elements. I don't know, man. I like being outside with our animals and stuff. So I was able to turn my hobby into my career. So I didn't really have a hobby. And so being out here, driving my tractor is what I like to do.
Word. Farmer Don.
Farmer Don.
Okay. Do you believe in aliens, paranormal, any life forms existing outside our solar system?
Yeah, I tend to be pretty optimistic with that stuff. Yeah, it just seems like, you know, and I love listening to all the conspiracy stuff. I'm a big fan of all those rumblings. So yeah.
Yeah, because I'm looking at that Cinerama mural rebrand and I just see that sick ass UFO. I'm like, speaking to my soul right there.
In my, you know, my grandfather was an illustrator at NASA. So it's been in my blood forever. And I love space and aliens and monsters and stuff. So yeah, I mean, something's got to happen. Something's got to be out there.
Dope. Last one. Where can people go to follow you online, support you, and just buy all your cool shit?
Invisiblecreature.com is our website. And then our handle is iCreature for Instagram. And then signing up to our newsletter, you kind of usually hear about stuff first.
Well, Don, thanks for helping me celebrate episode 200. It's been a blast finally getting to shoot the shit with you.
Yeah, dude.
Even if
yeah.
It's over this format. So again, thanks for helping me make time to celebrate this one. This is a big one for me, and I'm glad I got to have you on, man.
Congrats, man. Congrats on the success, and I'm happy to do it. I appreciate you asking.
All right. Appreciate your time. Let's keep in touch. Peace.
All right, bro.
PC family. I hope you enjoyed this chat with Don from Invisible Creature. So do what you do best. If you want value in what he had to say today, please go blow him up right now on Instagram. Share with him your biggest takeaway. Make sure to tag me too so I can reshare the love. And you can find the full episode link containing all links and references in the show notes within your current podcast listening app. And last but not least, if this show has helped you along your creative grind, could you do me a solid and leave a rating and review over on Apple Podcasts or iTunes? And I'm learning that I can see reviews from a lot of these places now, like CastBox or Stitcher, stuff like that. So, you know, if you listen over there, leave them and I can go and see them, which is pretty dope. But not only does leaving a rating and review help the show climb the charts in the arts design category, but it staples you in as a future listener of the week. And this one is titled Daily Inspiration from Yeti 2 from the US. They say, super simple, can't even remember how I came across this show, but so glad I did. Inspiration and a wealth of knowledge from a growing community is always in ready supply. Always look forward to what's next. Simple, to the point. Thank you so much. I appreciate it more than you know. And as we sign off, I want to give a huge shout out to my podcast editor, Anya Brennan, executive assistant, Paige Garland, video specialist, Colton Bacher, social media coordinator, Hannah Schick, and Nick Jenkins of Bluka for all the dope theme music you hear on this show. And as you finish off your week strong, I want to encourage you to keep showing up, keep putting in the work, and keep creating. You got this.